PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week, I am incredibly privileged to have the main man, James Miles, back again, ready to tell some big stories. James, what's happening?
That's way too much hype for me. Way too much hype for me. How are you, Dan?
I'm all right. We are recording this 11 minutes before the milestone, so that's, yeah, it's fine.
Welcome to the 40 Club. Let's go.
Yeah, we could spend like the entire episode talking about how hard golf is after X amount of age, and I think everyone who tunes in is going to relate to it at least a little bit, whether it's a pain that they didn't know they had, whether it's, you know, shortening the golf swing due to reasons or just subtle changes over the years. I mean, you're 40 now. What's changed about your golf swing?
I mean, I'm almost 41, so.
Whoa, slow down. Don't hurt yourself.
So I'm just trying to make you feel better about yourself. What's changed about my golf swing? Let's see, I spent the majority of 40 trying to find my golf swing again. And in the last few weeks finally kind of did, but no, I mean, it's 40. It's not as scary as a lot of people say it is. And then at the same time, it's a little bit more terrifying than what they say it is.
Wow. So it's fine, except where it's not.
Except when it's not. I mean, yeah.
It's okay sometimes, but also always.
You kind of can't do anything about it. So
good God. Well, I'm putting it to the test. I'm going to play, I think, four rounds at the age of 40 before the end of the weekend. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. Hopefully I don't have to retire. Yeah.
That's a lot of golf.
Yeah. I'm just coming back from Hidden Creek too, which is super fun up there with Titleist and THP. I got to see some minds get blown. Hidden Creek is an absolute gem.
Yeah, that place looked insane.
I know some folks followed along on the forum and on our socials. But yeah, testing out GT and all the goodness there. Shout out to JT, JD, and Steph over there at Titleist for hanging out. Answering every single internet golfer question that was thrown at them. A couple of those like, hey, don't turn the phones off.
Hey, mostly. And what was shared with the website was some of the coolest Q&A ever. So
yeah, it was nice. So Hidden Creek has these crazy, basically houses that everyone was able to stay under one roof. So, you know, there wasn't that like separation of experience. We just sat there, we ate dinner like maniacs, and then we had delicious dessert all the while just ripping it up about golf. So, and I mean, super cool property, and awesome weather, man. I don't think I've played in Jersey before, so it was totally worth.
That's awesome. I mean, it looked crazy cool. I mean, I'm a big dormy property guy, but that's one I haven't done yet. So I was pretty jealous.
Well, we need to get the big question out of the way, because you were at Ballyhack a short while ago, and you did the unthinkable. You guys walked it.
Oh my God.
How was that?
That's that. Well, at 40, I can tell you that was not, that, like, I'm a walker. I love to carry the rounds. I was thinking about it today whenever I played, like, our temperature's finally to the point in the mornings where it's not already 87 and just balmy to where I can start carrying again. And then I had these PTSD flashbacks to Ballyhack and surviving that. I'm glad I did it. I would never want to walk it again. And that's not a knock on the course. That's just not a walking golf course, man. And the fact that when you and I've been there, we've seen people walking a few holes and doing stuff like that. And they said at the pro shop, like, most of the time people will only walk nine and that's it. And I can see why, especially if you start on the back nine to walk and then almost kill yourself on your next to last hole and, you know, all the other stuff that goes with it. But it was a beast, and in the weather, and I was so proud of some internet golfers because there were dudes of all sizes and shapes, and every one of them survived it and walked that place.
I remember a CPO over there. I didn't even like that.
I mean,
that.
That's brutal too, yeah.
Because you're going up and over the mounds, so I mean, it's a little bit imperfect and also pain. But yeah, so that was an interesting show. Really enjoyed following along with that one.
And it taught people to never bet against me.
Why's that? Tell us why, James.
Yeah. I don't know. I just enjoy a little friendly competition, especially with on the website where we have our little wagering that goes on and everybody can do. I like when people bet against me.
The sports book. And yeah, if you guys are following along who don't participate in the community, do you want to heckle people or bet against them or bet for them or see some of these dormant properties come alive during these events, definitely check it out because I think Grable's upcoming.
Yes.
I think there's Briggs Ranch event upcoming. So there's an awful lot of stuff going on that is totally worth paying attention to if you want to. Speaking of that, James, you are kind of king of testing now on THP. So, like, you are the man with the plan, and there's a lot going on and some really exciting products out there. I had the privilege of testing Opus and Apex when our Callaway Fitter swung through at our golf course. But there are THPers out there who are currently testing the gamut of iron options from Callaway, as well as some crazy looking new irons. How's that going?
It's good. I mean, we're refocusing in on forum testing, and yeah, I've kind of got a little bit of a bigger role in between it all, and it's been good. Right now, we've got a Kinetics hypersonic driver shaft in the hands of some golfers. We've got Opus wedges, both a platinum and a standard, in the hands of people. And then we just started the Apex Performance Series. And what's the coolest thing about that is we got two sets of each. So two sets of TI Fusions, two sets of AI 200s, and two sets of AI 300s. And we've got, including me, six guys going with them. And they've just got in hands, I think, our last sets for our guys this week. And have had them out and about. So it's going to be a really, really busy thread. The Opus one has as well, but this, I think everybody's always in love with Apex, right?
The wild concept there is you have six guys telling probably six familiar but different stories, especially Ty Fusion. It's such an interesting head. But I think that's what Apex needs, right? Like at 10 years old, they have the freedom to flex on that lineup and have confidence that people will at least give it a try. And in this case, you get an opportunity to find something that really is fine-tuned to your game, which I'm super excited about, and certainly Zach was when he was on talking about it. You're in Ty Fusion, right?
I am in Ty Fusion, yeah.
Have you got him yet? Have you hit him?
I've had them on the course the last 2 days. So they showed up last Thursday, and I had parenting duties to attend to. I didn't get to get them out until yesterday, but I got them out yesterday and today. And I mean, I've had the Cobra Limited irons in the bag prior to that, so it's kind of going from one really high tech crazy way of doing things to another really high tech crazy way of doing things. And the fact that that's 10 years old is like Apex is aligned is absolutely the hardest thing to wrap my head around. Mm-hmm. When I wrote the release article, like, I had to double check the dates. Cause I mean, think about it. Like, you would have been what, 29 and 364 days at that point.
Shut up. So,
but no, the coolest thing about Apex for me is that they always wait to get it right. Now there'll be some conversation on some of the stuff going on with these sets, I think, if for those that want to hop in the community and see, but they're not afraid to wait an additional cycle before releasing another Apex iron. And this year, obviously, it's kind of unique because we got the MBs and the CBs and the pros, and now we have a whole new naming system of the AI 200, AI 300, and then the TIE Fusions. So, but they all, right for right now, they all serve as kind of one family of Apex, and it runs the gamut of options you could want. And I mean, you spent time with the CBs, right?
Yeah, I actually wanted to step back and just say I really like how they broke them apart. You know, obviously with the different heads that are available, and I know Typhusion stands alone on price being what it is, but I love that they're sort of making it clear who those lines are for. And during my time with the Irons at ECPC, I thought the CB seemed like a pretty natural fit, but the Apex Pros are the ones I kept going back to and having a ton of fun, so naturally I had to get a long iron at least in the bag there and be fully entertained by it. So, I mean, that, I think CBs are the play, but what I liked about the updated lineup or the Apex lineup is that you can really see the intent there from head to head between the three. You get an idea who it's geared towards, especially when you put it down and take a look and then take a couple swings. I mean, the performance is going to stand on its own, and I hope that's what people choose to do rather than just, you know, make a knee jerk, which is not common at all in golf.
Never.
But, you know, and maybe they leverage some of this feedback that'll come to THP as golfers continue to hit it before they even decide, like, what to go hit. But I'll tell you what, the one iron that keeps standing out in that lineup to me, and I'm probably going to say it until there's a new lineup, is the Apex Pro. I thought that was super cool.
I mean, I think it's fun to see. We're seeing them change course right now with these three irons, right? And moving forward, we're going to have a naming system, and that's kind of why they did this. They want everything to be a little more clear cut than just MB, CB, Pro, whatever else. So we're going to fall into some of the alphanumeric stuff, right? Like other companies do, like Titleist does and some of the others. And I, for one, in irons, I love the alphanumeric thing. I think it makes it easy for us. You know what iron is thereabouts supposed to fit each realm of it, right? But the coolest part for me is with the Typhusions, because the Typhusions are them just saying, what can we do? So to see it, remember when we first got the Epic irons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that was Callaway like flexing, like this is what we can do. And now we're seeing them do that within the Apex lineup. I don't know long term where the Typhusion sit. It's really cool. I want to see where the application goes from there with the titanium face and stuff. But I just like that they're cleaning everything up, and it's still Apex. I mean, the feel is insane on the 200s and the 300s.
I think that's a pretty interesting comparison, because they went really aggressive with Typhusion, I thought. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I loved about Epic Forge was it was a long iron party.
Yes, it was.
I had so much fun using those in the long irons, because they just went for days, and they're relatively easy to hit from an iron perspective. And I think people are going to be really surprised when they grab Typhusion, considering the amount of technology that's baked into it. They are not for the faint of heart. They are not a hyper forgiving iron.
Well, it's we're getting into this stuff. Like I mentioned, the Cobra Limited irons, right? I mean, you've seen those. Those are compact irons for what they get away with. And the Typhusions are the same way. Dean and I got to see him at Ballyhack ahead of the release, so we could get pictures and do everything with it. And when we set them down, that was both of our reaction was, holy crap, they look small. And now part of that's the black finish, right? Part of that's the way you roll the top line, because I've taken calipers I've got the CBs, the Pros, and the Ties here. So I've compared them all. And even though the Typhusion look like they're the smallest, they have the thickest top line of the three. Mm. You know, it's stuff like that, but it's the way these companies are packing so much into a shape that looks like you shouldn't get away with what you should. And I like that Callaway is chasing a spin story. I think we got to a point with a lot of irons where spin was just so low. It got into a realm of, it was really difficult to fit a broader range. Now I know some people need lower spin.
shut up, man. It was really working out for me.
Some people need lower spin, but I like that we're getting a broader lineup of stuff from everybody, even with what Titleist did with the 100s and the 150s this time, right? Mm. Like, I mean, it's smart the way that we're seeing companies go about all this.
Well, there's another testing on Opus wedges, which I think is great to see. And I know I'd like to hear your thoughts on Opus and the feedback so far that's being received on it. But I feel like not necessarily a rebrand is going on from quite a few companies, but like a statement product is occurring. Like I think about Opus is a big name change. And as much as they have consistency with Apex, you know, changing the name of a wedge from familiarity is kind of a scary thing. I look at Titleist as we just finished mentioning, they went to a rebrand of GT, which is pretty wild. And, you know, this, or I guess it's not really a rebrand.
It's kind of the next step, right? The next evolution.
A stepping stone. Yeah. The next evolution being GT. Like, it's really interesting to see these companies take the chance and then be successful and then bring it out and say, all right, tell us why we're right, or tell us that we, ideally tell us why we're right, but, you know, let us know. And so, you know, back to Opus, what's the early consensus?
I think there was a lot of initial reactions to the looks. And you know, my love of USGA pictures and internet golfers who want to be first to post pictures of stuff before we ever hit embargoes. But when the images came out, I think a lot of people were kind of questioning, because it's such a departure from what we saw and what we've, I wouldn't even say what we saw, but what we've known with Jaws for the last few times, right? Be it for the ports in the back to the overall angular shaping on the back and the way that all the aesthetics are done. This is a departure from all that. The ports are gone. You're getting sharper lines in some of the areas and the way that the weight is placed, and it gives you this kind of visual representation of it all. And I think that was worrisome. But at the same time, once people have started hitting them, at least in our testing for sure, and everybody I've put mine into their hands, the feel is the most surprising thing. It's one of the things I've asked for out of a Callaway wedge for a while now, was a more dense feeling and impact. And this has kind of hit that note. Now, they're not super head heavy, like, you know, moving from Vokies or whatever else, but they've kind of found that middle ground. And the coolest part about it was, like, Xander already won with these wedges before they were ever released. Yeah. They just camouflaged them to look just like the Jaws Raw.
Storylines of these guys who get them in the hands and are like, all right, I'll take that. And they're like, well, you can't, because that's the only one. Like, that kind of stuff.
Like, it's pretty funny. That any wedge on tour with the S6 stamp on it was actually, that's the Opus. So they had been in play for a better part of, you know, half a season or somewhere in there. So Callaway is now actually, like, legitimately, it's like with cars, right? Have you ever seen the camouflage they put on the cars when they design them and they've got them out driving around? It's like the same thing that we're doing in golf now.
It's like your shirt on a car. Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah, you know, I gotta make sure you can't see everything. Very, it's like spicy. One of those posters you used to look at, like a kid and go cross-eyed.
It's a sailboat. Yeah.
It's a sailboat.
Yeah, Opus is really interesting. I got a chance to hit that as well when the fitter was here. But what I didn't realize is I only hit platinum. It was not intentional. But I'll tell you what, buddy. There are certain wedges that really work for my game and certain wedges that really do not work for my game. You know, I liken it back to an experience I had a couple years ago where there was some sort of shift in a wedge. I think it was Cleveland's Rotex 3.0 maybe. And I was just like, man, I cannot find this club. And then they brought the fours out, or RTX 4s out.
RTX 4.
And you know damn well, like, I was obsessed with those wedges. Yeah. It's funny how quick the shift goes. And it's not to say that I always had no success with Callaway's wedges. I don't think I was really seeing eye to eye with them as compared to some others. I felt totally different hitting Opus. And I'm curious to know if people feel the same way. They just seem to really be there. You know what I mean?
I think it's the most, and I don't want to know. I mean, I played Jaws Raw. I got along okay with them. And I think it's a surprisingly complete wedge. And surprising isn't a good word, because that makes it seem like, oh, look what they did. No, this is a very well done all around wedge, where in the past, for me, it was always like Groove Tech on the Callaways was always just impressive as can be. And now it's kind of wrapping it all around with the shaping, moving away from the really, really straight leading edge. It's not as as noticeable as it was. You've got a little more curvature to it. And then, like I said, in some of the wading through impact with where the placement is, it's a different feel and a different experience. And I mean, you said you hit the Platinums. The Platinums were intended to be the, here's, you know, the president of the company saying, do whatever you can do, spare no expense. So let's put tungsten in the top of a wedge for fun and see what it goes. But man, they work, and they work really well for guys who like to control the flight of their wedge shots. So it's two pretty cool stories they've got going on with Opus.
I'm excited. And the finish is absolutely nuts.
I mean, yeah, anytime you see any of the dark finishes come out, particularly a bright blue that everybody loves, it's pretty killer. So,
yeah. One more I want to press on, because you are the man with the knowledge on THP testing activity. There is a Kinetics Hypersonic going on right now, I think. Mm-hmm. What's that like?
So we reviewed the Hypersonic about a year ago, and Kinetics has always been one of the interesting ones, because they kind of have their place. And I think a lot of guys know them for long drive. I think that's where they're the most recognizable. And they really pushed this last time with the Hypersonic and the Mach, where they're two ultra lightweight and super ultra lightweight shafts, that are built to withstand stronger swings as well. So we put them into the hands. Their flex system is not ARSX, right? It's D10, D20, D30, D40. We have a tester in every flex on that forum testing. So and multiple,
pretty impressive considering how stout D40 probably is.
And I mean, we've got two other guys and me in the D40, which I already had from the previous one. So we've got everything pretty well covered, and Kinetics is interesting, because when you do my most hated test in golf, when it comes to golf shafts, the waggle test, anything with Kinetics feels like it's going to be really, really active and really loose. And some of them are. The Velocity, whenever we reviewed it, the Velocity is a very active shaft. But the Hypersonic's not that way. What you give into it, it gives right back to you, and it's always there. So it's going to be a really fun one to watch because of the different types of swings we have involved with it. But it's really cool to see Kinetics get in on the forum testing like that. I think the more people that try stuff outside of the norm, the better it is for all of us.
Yeah. And Jason's been on the show a couple times, absolutely exploding brains with his feedback.
One of the smartest people on the planet. Yeah.
You know, a chance to hit the product and have a conversation about it is always super fun. Kudos to you for the activity that's going on over there. It seems like everyone's really enjoying the opportunity to test some pretty incredible equipment. And I'm looking forward to seeing how that continues. What else is going on with you? I feel like the last time you came on, there was a little bit of a blip in the golf game. Have we come around a bit?
I'm not soft capped anymore. I got away from soft cap, and then I got soft capped again, and now I'm not soft capped. So that's good. I won my club's member. We didn't talk about that. I have to say it, like, because I can now never win another thing at my club for the next 30-40 years,
and with the member guest,
I will have always. I mean, hey, I hear there could be a really good team that's maybe okay at golf, but probably better at drinking. That's going to show
up. That's pretty exciting, man. You know, Everyone goes through their ebbs and flows in golf. I feel like that's one of the things that's so under-discussed, not just from a course, or not a course, a round-to-round experience, but also like a week-to-week or even month-to-month experience. Like, golf is so freaking hard that, you know, the idea that it's fleeting from shot to shot, it probably resonated with at least, you know, a handful of people who just heard that and was like, yeah, it's me, that was me last weekend, and then they go out this weekend and they can't miss, you know. So it's nice to know it's not far away from you, that you know, bright spots exist, and
it's the most fickle thing out there, because you can, in the middle of your round, have this one random thought about your swing and totally screw everything up. And it was just a thought, right? It's just like, oh, I don't feel like I got here. Well, that's like, I've done so much better myself at not just run with what you got. Just own it.
I started a thread on the forum this past week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, talking about, are you the type of guy who's not super excited to go after your playing partner, roast 1OB, or into a house, or into the water? Like, is that a part of your mental game? That does that impact? You just mentioned, like, one bad thing happens during the round. Really, it's one bad thing happens to your playing partner, and suddenly your game falls apart, too, with them.
You know, but, like, for real. So, in our member, like, getting to see all these other teams, there was a lot of that, man. There's a lot of that where a really good player is hitting second and his partner just shells one out of bounds. And all of a sudden you watch them make a swing that you've not seen them make. And it's not intentional. I don't think any of us intend to do that, but it happens so easily. And the ones who typically play the best are the ones that are a little bit happy-go-lucky about it.
Yeah. Sounds like my driver's swing for the last 3 years, but no one's hit in front of me.
Well, I mean, you know.
So, actually, that was one of our big shifts this year for my member was we decided my partner is going to swing the same way regardless. He's kind of one of those dudes who doesn't really matter. And I said, rather than having to see what happens to you and considering how consistent I typically am, I was like, why don't you just let me go first? Because if I put one in play, it's going to give you extra confidence. And if I put one out of play, you still don't care. whereas last year, he hit 1OB, looked at me and goes, good luck. And just walked away. That's, I was like, well, we know where this is going. So, yeah, I mean, that's such a funny piece of the game. A lot of people said that they'd never really thought about it. They would just go regardless. But I'll tell you what. You see something like that happen, like that blast OB or the blast in the water, or, you know, hits that one branch that sort of doesn't really hang over the fairway, and suddenly it's like completely in your head, which should be a totally different game.
Yeah, I mean, it's fickle, it's fleeting. Like, that's this everything about this game. And it's like you said, it's not even just day to day. The worst is whenever you go through like a month of the same thing and it's not a positive thing. And because you get to that feeling, that's where I was this year. At one point going into all this, you know, I didn't really have anything to play for to that juncture in the season. And it just felt like maybe this is it. Maybe it's really never coming back this time. And you the negative just builds the negative and builds the negative. And, you know, and we all have different things, I think, that help get us out of it. For some guys, they go to the range and they bash 1,000 balls. For me, if I avoid the driving range, I typically get better at golf. So
it's overthinking. The problem for you is you have 3 kids coming after you. I only have to beat one. So your motivation is pretty clear.
I hope they all kick my ass, man.
Yeah. I guess the other thing is that Laura's starting to get awfully good.
She's the ringer.
Mrs. Canada and whatever we're calling her. She is the ringer. I got a couple mini goofy questions for you. When we were at Hidden Creek, they had cut into the green a mini cup. Have you ever seen one of those?
Our course has pro cups. Yeah.
So it's like what? Like the width of a ball and a half, maybe?
Yep.
And, you know, shout out to R. Yang or Ryan G, depending on how you pronounce it. we were in a putting battle, and the only way I could shake him night one was to force him to putt to the mini cup. And I happened to make
go to the pro hole, baby.
Yeah, there was like, we putted around that stupid green, that wonderful putting green. I'm only saying stupid because it was a lot of work. In the dew, just blasting balls. And I couldn't make it. And then like 2 times I aim at this little teeny weeny cup and I drain them both times. I was like, what is it about it, man? Like, do you think if they put something different visually in those cups, I'd be better at golf?
No.
Just pure luck. What are we talking here? Like, what is it about that? What is it about that mini cup? They say aim small, miss small, or whatever, and just magically it works out.
It's just refined focus, right?
Yeah. I wonder how many folks out there even try that. So my course, one of the things they do on the one putting green is have you seen the stakes that they put down, and then at the bottom it has like a circle?
Yeah, it's like a
small. Yeah. Originally I didn't like putting to them because you don't get the satisfaction of the cup sound, which is obviously, you know, why we do it. But then I realized like it's an awfully small target. Maybe I should do this. And I wonder how many people actually invest their time in the smaller cup idea.
Not nearly as many that would benefit from it.
Or I mean, short like, game practice like, in general, right?
I was gonna say, it's like anything else short game. I mean, for so many of us, we could say we practice it, but the majority don't really. And I think it's hard to think that way because you're just so focused on, well, crap, why would I want to putt to the smaller one whenever I'm just trying to get it in the vicinity of the big hole, the full regulation cup. Even though, I mean, when you break it down and you think about it, the aim small, miss small, practice that way, it makes the regular cup seem gigantic. I mean, not stupid TaylorMade foot golf gigantic or whatever that was that went through that one time, but gigantic.
All right. I have another question, and it has to do with me hooking one irons into the woods a couple times this past week.
I didn't know where that was going for a second.
Not incredibly satisfying. Yeah. We're good. I'm doing okay. I still got a list, so we're fine. So I hit a couple shots and playing in this sort of tree lined fairways, the Northeast, every single time I got behind one, I saw what I like to call the window, you know, that small little bit of air in between the 15 trees you got to hit through.
Like we hear about on TV all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't think any one of them I really looked at. I was like, no, I can't do that. I mean, sure enough, I hit a lot of trees attempting to. The worst ones were like, oh, I can hit a fade around this tree. And I didn't really think I haven't hit a fade with an iron all summer. So, you know, that's adorable. But there's a couple really cool shots that came out of it. So my question to you, and certainly for the folks listening in, we'll have a thread up on THP and I'd love to hear your thoughts. But James, when you think you see a window, and even if it's like 20%, are you taking your medicine and going down to the middle, or are you going for it?
I mean, you said the percentage thing. That's my big rule. Like if it's not, I ask myself out of 10 tries, how many times can I hit this shot? And if it's not above 30%, I won't consider it. If it's in that 30% range and like I'm in a match with somebody, I'm probably going to go for it. And it's helped my scores a ton. It's so boring, but it's helped my scores a ton to just punch out a lot of times, unless I just feel really good about it. Now, I have the remarkable talent of hitting some really asinine golf shots out of places you shouldn't be able to hit them. And so I'm more inclined to go after some of them, especially when it's just like us together out playing or whatever else, right? But like in a competition round, I mean, I did it a lot this year in at the club. I just took my medicine and it paid off more times than it didn't, because a lot of those other guys out there won't do it.
You know? I guess the question is better, are you inclined to do it in certain situations?
Yeah.
Because my thought was, so I've got this new thing that relates to THP events. It's called Yoho instead of YOLO. So you're only here once, so why not? Like, have a little fun. And thanks to the jerks in my foursome, I now have video and photo proof of me being in the woods. fortunately for me, I think every picture that was taken was of a shot that ended up greenside that had no business being there.
Look at you.
So it made it a little bit more entertaining. But I'll add another piece to the equation. When you see this window, are you aiming at the first tree you can, assuming you won't hit it, or are you aiming at the window?
I'm aiming at the window.
Really? I watched enough guys. So I'll give you an example. I won't name who it was, but someone found a few golf balls as we wandered around the course this week. The first one he found, he tried to throw into the woods and it hit a tree dead square about 30 feet away and bounced literally back and hit him after it bounced. And I'm like, if you aim at that tree, you won't hit it.
You couldn't do it again.
30 tries. No chance. So then we get to another hole. He finds another ball he doesn't want to keep. And he hits it into the woods this time with a club. And damn it if he doesn't do the exact same thing and hits a tree and bounces straight back at him. And we're like, dude, there is no way. So then we get to the last hole. And he finds yet another ball he wants nothing to do with. goes to hit it into the woods, and sure as shit, nails a tree and comes flying back. And my thought was, buddy, you should never aim at your target again.
No, you need to, just aim away.
That's crazy. So, you know, but the funny part was I had one, we'll call it miracle shot, that I had this ridiculous window. If you want to see it, go find it on the forum. Thanks, Blazenden, for throwing that up there for me behind trees. But I was like, all right, here's my window here. But what I ended up doing is hooking it through the window and then dead left between two trees and out into the fairway. So he's like, man, how'd you do that? I'm like, well, talent.
That is when you just own it and you go on. Like,
yeah.
Throw a little twirl into it and just be like, oh, yeah, that was the window I saw the whole time. Yeah.
I always tell my playing partners, don't say anything about your shot until it lands. Let's see how bad it is first before you complain or get mad about it.
Don't cuss a moving ball. Yep.
Don't cuss a moving ball. Yep. Holy Oklahoma. That was good. I like that. Oh, man. That's pretty solid, dude. I have other ones, but I don't know if we would really want to go in the weeds. Should we talk about how bad Scheffler is?
Oh, one of the worst golfers I've ever seen in my life.
It's such a weird time to watch tour golf. I want to get Dean on the show because I know he's a bit more of a tour goof than we are. Have you watched a ton of tour golf this year?
You know, I started off the year watching a lot, and it was kind of out of like, I'm going to watch both tours because, and I enjoyed it. And then I just stopped. I just stopped. Like, I don't think I watched any of the FedEx Cup. And that's the first time I can say that in, I think, ever. Like, I didn't watch any of it. None of it.
Is it based on the current landscape? Is the fact that a couple guys are dominating, and what?
No, and that's the thing about it. Usually when there's a dominant player or two, or players go on a run, like, you know, Xander concluding the season like he did, I've always been a Xander fan. I like Scotty. Like, I don't have anything against him, so I don't know. I don't know the why, and I don't think I'm alone in just kind of stopping watching. But it's also not the LIV versus PGA Tour thing, because, you know, I've been on here and I've said it. Like, I'm for more golf to be able to watch. I watched both, and I don't know, maybe if it's seasons of life or what. I didn't hit me until really Monday. I was talking to somebody about it, and I didn't watch crap for golf this year compared to what I usually do. I mean, I watched every major, but I don't know. There's usually a handful of tournaments. I will say, I think the elevated events and stuff like that, I think some of that stuff just sucks, and it takes a lot out of it. But I don't know. It's interesting. Did you watch much?
It's been a weird year. It's been an exceptionally busy, weird year. And I feel like every opportunity I had just kind of vanished right in front of me. I watch a fair bit at the club with the guys, especially after golf. But it never felt, well, let's be clear, majors not considered, because of course you watch the majors.
Yeah.
But, you know, regular tournaments, it felt more opportunistic based on my surroundings than, you know, intentional. So, yes, but no.
Yeah.
But I kept up with it. What's crazy to me is, like, a guy like Scheffler has just done absurdly good things this year.
He had a historic year.
And the challenge that we're going to face here is talking about how it's a bit muddied down. And that's been a bit of a deterrent for me, because I don't see it that way. Do you?
I don't see it that way. Like, I think what he did, he would have done even if the tours were still one single thing. I don't know, man. It's just, and that's part of, I guess I almost have like remorse that I didn't watch more of it. Cause whenever you go back and you look at what he did this year, that is a historic year in golf. And we may never see that in our lifetime again.
Well,
that's wild to me.
There was a thread on THP that was humorously created asking if Scheffler's time was up. And it was, he had like a couple week window where he just wasn't getting it done. And the person took a lot of criticism throughout the golf season as he continued to win things. And you know, my perspective is I thought it was a hilariously good thread because it's so representative of how much of a on a whim group we are when we watch the game. But I also think we've been conditioned to that as fans because we've seen these tiny runs made by all these guys and this wishful thinking that they're the next guy to really separate themselves from the crowd. So the fact that Scheffler's not only outlasted like normalized expectations, but also outlasted a threat on THP.
Yeah. It was great. I mean, that was one of my more favorite threads too, because it hadn't been up maybe it wasn't even two weeks. I think it was like a week and he finished like second.
Yeah.
And it's like
this aged poorly.
Yeah. And you know, internet golfers are going to jump on that and not let you forget about it ever.
Right.
But, but it was a crazy year. Think about what Xander did in majors and the way that everything concludes. And then with Scotty and, I mean, that's not even getting into the whole arrest storyline and all that crap, right? And that's what's interesting to me is because at that point I was pretty invested in watching weekly, and then I just kind of stopped. Mm. And I don't know, but like I said, I mean, maybe that's life. Maybe it's just chasing kids around. Maybe it's whatever. But it's an interesting thought. It's an interesting topic.
Okay. Fall golf. How are you feeling about it? You gonna play lots, or are you kind of limited?
I will pick up and play more. Kids are back in school now, so my regular, it's hilarious because we finally moved to online booking, right? So we can book our tee times online 7 days out. It's the greatest thing ever, except for the fact that there are still the long-standing tee times that exist at the course. So I usually get about the 8:16 tee time, which is time for me to drop off kids, get across town and go to the golf course, you know, play in 2 hours, then go home and do everything I need to do. but there's a group of guys that are always in front of me, and they've become like, it's the nicest and funniest thing. Cause they just wait on me to catch them. And they're just like, oh, go ahead. Cause like, they're already waving before anything's going on. and it's kind of, so I play more, I start to carry more. I hate it when our leaves fall. We got a lot of oak trees and it's a giant pain in the ass there. But, I mean, our weather, I've only probably got 2 weeks out of the year that I won't be able to go golf. I mean, if it's above 40 degrees and it's not 20 mile an hour winds, I'll probably go out and play.
Nice. That's not bad. James, do you have any questions for me today?
I don't. I mean, happy birthday.
I guess it is technically.
It
yeah.
is. It is technically, as we're listening to this, everybody wish Dan a happy birthday because he's 40 now. He's a man.
It's a man with some jet legs. So.
from now on, anytime he sneezes, he has to beware of his back popping out of place, and you know, don't bend over and pick up something too fast. Okay. All those good things. All those good things.
All questionable advice, and for everything else, there's alcohol.
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming on, buddy. I appreciate you. I'm looking forward to continuing to follow along with the testing, and you know, congrats on all the hard work there. It looks awesome.
Good things are coming. So pay attention to the forum, pay attention to the community, jump in, be part of it. You never know what you might get picked for. So it's good stuff.
Nice. Hey, if you're golfing this weekend, don't accidentally sneeze a little bit too hard and throw your back out like I'm apparently about to do. But yeah, give someone a compliment on a good shot. You would be amazed at the difference that makes in the confidence and enjoyment of the game for people. I will see you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.